Happy Thursday, guys. Sorry, we've just been punching these out back to back and I had to see where we were.
You had to say it out loud, what came after Wednesday.
Admit this. If someone says to you, what comes before the letter, like, H in the alphabet? You got to be... Okay. I'm like, I'm like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
You should be struggling if it was Y.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T,
U, V, W, X. Not H. Yeah, you got to go further back in the alphabet.
But don't you ever do that? Do you do that, Jess?
Yeah, if it's you know, back half of the alphabet.
Yeah.
As long as it's not the LMLO bit.
I'm all over A, B, C, D, E, F. And then after that, it's just blurry. You know what I mean?
So proud of you, Ducko.
Do you actually remember a point in time when you learnt the alphabet?
When do you do that? Is that like kindy?
It's like kindy years, yeah. It's on the wall and you got the big one, the little one.
I've got a real lapse in my learning when I was young. Times tables.
Like the school portion.
Pretty much years 1 to 12. Just this huge black hole. Had a fun though. God, I had a good time.
What was your favourite grade?
Favourite grade? Okay. I've got year 11 and 12, my two favourite. No, sorry, I take that back. Year 7 and year 12.
Mm.
Year 7, because you were the kings of primary school back then, when year 7 was the end of primary school before year 8 was high school, and I loved it.
I think that's a Queensland thing.
Yeah, it is.
Gotcha.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah. And then year 12, because, I mean, once again, Queensland, you're in your final year of school with all your best mates, having a good time, playing sport. Like, you thought you had issues in the world, but you didn't.
I know. I remember those simpler times where our problems were those high school problems.
Yeah.
And now we're like, oh, God, just to go back to those times.
And did you go to Gathos?
Gathos? 2 months ago, though.
Yeah, that's very fair.
Yeah, simpler times.
Gathos?
Gathos.
I assume that's a gathering.
Yeah, Gathos. You
Gathos,
go to Gathos?
That's very Queensland as
no
well.
No one says
Is that
Gathos.
Just a Queensland thing?
Yeah.
It's a Queensland.
Gathos.
You say
what
Gathos.
Wait. So let's go to, like, regional dialects here.
Okay. Ooh.
What was your word for, like, macking on?
Oh, great one.
Hooking up.
It was a hookup. We had grab. Did you have grab?
No.
That's really creepy.
What did you do at the party? I grabbed him.
What?
Grab.
Like, grabbed his...
And that was kissing.
Grab is kissing. Yep.
That's bizarre.
I grabbed him.
We did
you grabbed
pash.
Him. Oh, she grabbed him. You had pash.
Yeah.
Pash is so old school.
Pash. I mean,
you are 100.
I mean, come on. I'm going to pash her.
Yeah, I love that. Okay.
Yeah, little
Hook
isms.
Up, grab, pash.
Which one do you reckon is the best?
Grab, obviously.
Mate, grab sounds like you're going to take me into an alley. I'm going to grab him. What are you going to do to him? Where are you going to take him?
Yeah, I want to grab him so bad.
Is that still a thing in Victoria in 2020?
This is a great question. Yeah. I'm not in contact with any high schoolers.
Not grabbing any high schoolers.
Why don't you slide into some DMs, Ducko, and
Absolutely.
Ask?
I'll slither on in. Anyway, massive podcast today, guys. We chat to a real-life astronaut, Chris Hadfield, from
Canterbury. Yeah, and space. And we do a personality test. I can't remember what that was, but I'm sure it's very entertaining. Enjoy. Guys, we have a lot of interviews on this show, but I've rarely been as excited as I am about this one.
Science!
The boyish grin
on
Nick Gill's face.
So we thought that it would be interesting to find out different angles as to what it's like in isolation.
Look at him.
Ahead of, you know, all the stuff that's going on with coronavirus.
Yeah, mate.
And we thought, who are the people who experience the most severe kind of isolation? And we thought, astronaut.
We thought astronaut, did we?
I thought astronaut. And so we've got a real life astronaut, guys. Chris Hadfield is his name. He's a Canadian astronaut and he joins us right now. Chris, it's a pleasure. Good morning.
Nick, Jess and Ducko, how are the three of you doing this morning?
Excellent, Chris. Thank you so much for joining us and fulfilling Nick Gill's lifelong dream. I don't know.
Yeah, I have so many questions. This interview will go for another 20 minutes off air. But I guess the first question, which is the obvious one, is how long have you been kept in isolation in space on your own with no one accessible around you?
Well, I've done a lot of isolation. I lived at the bottom of the ocean for a few weeks with a group of 6 people. But in space, I flew in space 3 times, and my longest stint in space was 5 months without a break with 2 other people, occasionally 5 other people, but a maximum of 6 of us. But, yeah, going around the world every 92 minutes, going overhead where you folks are several times a day. And 16 sunrises, 16 sunsets a day, but completely isolated from everything with no way to get back in any sort of decent time. You got to solve all the problems yourself. And surrounded by the deathly danger of being in the vacuum of space with meteorites coming by. So it was an interesting experience.
For that, 5 months!
That makes staying at home or in a hotel room sound very easy.
Yeah, Chris, you were obviously doing important work up there, but I'm sorry, do astronauts have downtime? Like, how did you pass some of the time of the day?
We run about 200 experiments on the space station, and it's the biggest, most complicated thing we've ever built in space, and maybe the most complex machine ever built. And so it takes a lot of maintenance. And so we were busy all the time. Your alarm goes off at 6 in the morning, and you work till about 10 at night, 7 days a week. So there's not a lot of downtime. But I thought it was important to steal some downtime. And so when I was supposed to be asleep, I would take an hour or two, and that's when I would look out the window or take pictures and share them with people or write music or record music. The only time available is when I was supposed to be asleep.
Yeah.
Was that how you kept your mental strength up? Because a lot of people are struggling right now being in isolation or being at home, quarantining mentally. Do you have any tips, for mental strength?
Yeah, I think it's really important to give yourself stuff to do that you're really interested in every single day. Everybody's so disrupted right now, and it's easy to sort of feel at loose ends or like you're kind of pointless. So have stuff to do. You know, give yourself sort of sections of the day. Okay, between now and 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to do this, and then from 9 to 10, I'm going to do this. And don't be too hard on yourself. You know, cut yourself some slack, but give yourself a list of stuff, and nobody has to care what you're doing. It's only up to you. Make some of it, really interesting, and some of it the stuff you just need to do, and some of it's just straight fun. And the days go by a lot quicker if you have a whole list of things that you want to get finished, and then at the end of the day, you can sort of tick them off.
And I am interested in the isolation side of things, but I also have a few general questions. of the three missions that you did, which went into space, what is the most terrifying moment of any mission? Like, what's the point where you're like, oh, this is a really dicey moment?
Things aren't terrifying. Just sometimes people are terrified. And so it sort of depends if you know what you're doing or not. And I spent most of my life getting ready. So that I wouldn't be terrified. However, that's not to take away from the dangerous parts, which I think is what you're asking about. The most dangerous time of my entire life was the 3 times that I flew rocket ships. I flew the American Space Shuttle twice and the Russian Soyuz once. And the odds of dying in my first shuttle launch, which was back a long time ago, 95, was, we do the odds now because we finished the program, about 1 in 38. So Whoa. Those are terrible odds. So that 9 minutes or 8 minutes and 40 seconds or so that it takes to get to space, danger per second, if you were going to get yourself terrified, that would be the time to be terrified. But we were busy flying the spaceship and making sure that it worked properly. So that helped us not be afraid.
For a man who spends his time up in space, you sound so down to earth. Yeah. Like, it's real.
Irony.
It's awesome. Sorry, you go.
Well, you caught me. I'm just cutting up a piece of plywood because I have to replace the back of a cupboard in the cabin that my wife and I are at right now. So yeah, I'm doing practical stuff. But I'm also working with a company where you can just lay your finger on top of a little LED, and it'll look at the spectroscopic reflections of your blood that hopefully you'll be able to detect if you have COVID or not, and not have to like take a spit swab or draw blood in 15 seconds, which should be able to give you a red light or a green light.
God, you're an impressive
human.
That
would be great. Yeah. We could open up airports and stadiums and things like that again if we can make that work. So yeah, there's a lot of technical stuff going on, but yeah, most of the stuff that in my life is down here on Earth.
Yeah.
Is it a futuristic cupboard? Is it a futuristic plywood?
Well, I had to put a sump pump in behind it because it's spring here and things are wet. So I put in the sump pump, and now I'm just putting in the block in the back of the cupboard so my wife doesn't have to look at the sump pump.
There you go.
More futuristic than my cupboard. Oh, man, I want to speak to you for another 40 minutes.
But we haven't even asked about gravity.
I know. Going to the toilet in space.
I know.
Muscular atrophy, guys.
All that.
There is one question I do need to ask, though, Chris. Nick and Jess will get very angry at me for doing this, but you are a Canadian astronaut. Canadians do love maple syrup. Did you get maple syrup in space?
The best maple syrup I had in space, it came in a tube. if you can believe it. And so I would take these pre-made sort of waffles that were in a vacuum sealed pack. I'd put them in the little heater oven so they'd get warm inside, and then you'd slit the top of that little waffle pack, just sort of float the waffle out the top, and then you could use this tube of maple syrup, and it would just float there on top of the waffle. And then you could eat the two of them together. That was a real Sunday morning treat.
Oh, so good.
Picturing that scene in The Simpsons where he's floating and eating the chips that are just floating also in the rock. Oh, Chris, thank you so much for indulging us.
Yeah, appreciate it.
What's the saying? May the force be with you.
My pleasure.
That's one small step.
Happy landings.
Live long and prosper. Chris Hadfield, a Canadian astronaut there. Fascinating, guys.
So good. Oh,
thanks, mate.
Now, guys, a lot of time at home. A lot of people have lots of time on their hands, obviously. So, you know, we're looking at Netflix. We're looking at so much social media.
Anything to kill the time.
Anything. Now, I found a great time killer last night. We're going to post this link up on our Insta, Nick Jestucco, and on the Hit Newcastle Instagram. It's basically one of those quizzes of which character personality trait are you?
Do you know what, though? This particular quiz, which is like characters from TV shows and movies and stuff like that, which you put us onto, Ducco, seems much more scientific than the like BuzzFeed one.
Yeah.
Because it's not just like, hey, pick a dessert. It's like cookies every time.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It means you're the cookie monster. Well, I could have guessed that myself.
It asks you serious personality questions like, are you loyal or, you know,
traitorous?
And then you have like a little scale and you scan it across to either 100% loyal or 100% traitorous or like 60% or whatever.
Yeah, had to think for some of them. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
You've 80% or 90% traitorous.
And you've got to go like, how real do I go here? How much do I expose myself and open myself up?
Obviously completely.
Very true.
Yeah.
That's what I did. So it chooses between, it's got 400 and something characters in there from TV shows.
Yes.
Anything.
Great sample size.
So it's a huge sample size. It's getting some traction online. As I said, please get involved on our social media. So I did it last night, right? And I came in here today telling you two, and I made you two do it. So listen to the characters that I got, because it gives you your characters from most to least.
Yes. Were you hoping for anyone? Like of all Hollywood, TV, cartoons.
I was hoping for Jake Peralta from
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
But okay. I don't know if Brooklyn Nine-Nine's in there. But anyway, the one I got the most at 97% was George Weasley from Harry Potter.
One of the twins.
Why not Fred?
I don't know why Fred didn't pop into me. And he wasn't even second.
He was. Okay.
My second, he's a prankster, George Weasley.
Yes.
My second, 94%. Bart Simpson.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I can see Bart. I can see Bart in you.
My third at 80%, I don't know how this comes in, was Samantha from Sex and the City.
Girl.
The blonde one.
I mean,
she's the one that.
We know who's.
Yeah.
She's the one who has the most fun, let's put it that way.
Yeah. So how did you guys go?
What a combination.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't. Okay, you tell me.
Sexy Bart Simpson.
Sexy Bart Simpson. A magical sexy Bart Simpson. I'm not particularly thrilled with my first one, purely because I don't like the show. But I got Rachel from Friends.
Ooh.
And I'll be honest, considering that I usually get called Monica from Friends, maybe that isn't that bad. But Rachel from Friends,
of course. She's a much beloved character.
She's a much beloved character. And I mean, Jen Aniston's gone on to do great things, so maybe I shouldn't.
You're not Jen Aniston, you're Rachel.
You're Rachel, mate. You know, you're that character.
Jen Aniston's character. This one has really thrown me, boys. June George. Do you know who?
Who's that?
You know who she is. It's Regina's mum from Mean Girls.
Stop it. That is so
I'm
funny.
I'm not a regular mum. I'm a cool mum. The one with the fake titties and the chihuahua.
That is you.
That's me.
I can see you saying that when you have kids. I'm not a regular mum. I'm a cool mum. They're like, oh my God.
In my pink velvet, juicy tracksuit. And this one is confusing. So you know how you only got George Weasley, Ducko?
Yeah.
At 92%, I got equal. So both of them are on 92%. Romeo from Romeo and Juliet and Juliet from Romeo and Juliet.
How weird.
So I don't know what that means.
No.
Equal
I don't know.
Parts Romeo and
why is
and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet in there?
Great question.
That's bizarre.
I know. So I'm Regina's mum and Romeo and Juliet. So whatever the hell that means.
I'm sensing like a love trend with yours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Lovey vibes.
I love love.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right, and then
take that into my day.
Yeah.
Mine, I'm not all that happy with either. There are some good ones in there, like right up the top, number 2 and 4 is Obi-Wan Kenobi from Star Wars.
Cool, right up your
and
alley.
The Oracle from The Matrix. Great.
Live long and prosper. That's the wrong series.
However, I also very high. Marge Simpson, Lisa Simpson, and Ned Flanders.
And I'm Bart Simpson.
And then I also
this would
got,
annoy him so much.
I mean.
And then I also got, you probably won't know who this guy is because it's from a show called Community, which I love. But I got very high a guy called Abed Nadir, who is a socially inept guy who has no sense for what's going on in the world and is lost in his own fantasies inside his own head.
Yeah, what's the problem?